count your blessings, name them one by one, the blessings of the Lord. Forget not any of his benefits or blessings. I think it's the same note that we are going to continue the same thought process in this particular sermon that we are going to go over. May the Lord enable us to meditate on his word and focus our attention as to what he has in store for us to learn from his word. We are continuing our series on Jordan crossing, where God himself said, "Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan." So there are many spiritual principles we have been learning. We started this series last week with a story from the Old Testament, the first mention of Jordan. If you remember, it was in the story between Abraham and Lot, and the sermon was titled Choices, as to how people they have made choices, especially Lot, how he chose for himself. But Lord spoke to Abraham and told him what to do, when to do, and then the Lord chose for Abraham. Today we are going to look at the second mention of the Jordan. This is taken from Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 12. Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 12. Shall we all read this together, please, and then we can fill in the blanks as it is projected here. Shall we read these verses together? All together, please, aloud. "Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" I'll just give a few seconds for us to note down in our sermon notes those the blank words. "Then Jacob said," and then in verse 10, "For I crossed over this Jordan," and then in verse 11, "from the hand of Esau." May the Lord bless this portion that we have just read. This is a prayer of Jacob. The entire prayer is recorded in these four verses. And may the Lord enable us to understand certain spiritual principles from this passage and this story. Gracious Father, loving God, we pray that you may speak to us through your living word. Lord, as much as you teach me, Lord, help me to be able to deliver it in such a manner, Lord, that it will make an impact. It might transform each one of us sitting here. We have come from a different frames of mind. Many situations are happening in our lives right now as we sit here. Lord, there are many things that we need to take care of when we go back after the church service. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you may empower us, equip us, Lord, by your word, and transform us, Lord, to be able to face the challenges that are ahead of us. But we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Challenges. These are not simple ones. Each of us go through challenges in our lives. Just like last week, we meditated on choices in our lives. What are challenges? What do challenges mean? Many, many situations where there is some struggle, in a way, in order to be able to face an uncertain future ahead of us. Maybe you are going through something like that today. Maybe you are sitting here right now, but there are a lot of challenges that are in your heart of hearts. Let us look to the Lord and ask his guidance as we learn from this particular story of Jacob. Back to this particular picture, the map. By now, you should be able to have this imprinted in our minds as to what is this picture. This is in somewhere in the Middle East, where we have Mediterranean Sea, Sea of Galilee, and Dead Sea. And the river that connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. And crossing of Jordan is the specific theme for this series that we have been meditating upon. So, crossing of Jordan. If you remember, the last week, Lot chose the east side of Jordan, and Abraham went to the west side, which is the Canaan. The right side is the land of Moabites and Ammonites. Remember that? So that is how they separated themselves, separated in terms of the Jordan River, as to they, Lot went to the east and Abraham went to the west. Just to give a background of this book of Genesis, I shared this before. I hope it is clear for some of us sitting on the at the end. I don't know if it is clear for you enough. But this particular picture gives an idea of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. As we read the scriptures, as we go through this series, I want us to be able to understand the plan of God and what is mentioned in the book of Genesis as well. Learning from the word of God and also applying principles also. Both are essential. So here if you see Adam, and in between Adam and Noah, there are multiple generations. I didn't give all the details. From Adam to Noah, Adam was the first creation of God, and Noah, after the flood, again, the families started with Noah. Then Shem, there are more generations between Shem and Terah. And then from Terah, he had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran's son was Lot. And then Lot and Abraham, I think we went through those story. And then Abraham had a child, Ishmael, but he was not the promised son. And then later, through the promise God has given Abraham and Sarah, they have a child. His name is Isaac. And similarly, at the same time, Nahor, he had a son, Bethuel. Bethuel had two children, Rebekah and Laban. Lot, you know, the illicit relationship that he had, ended up with Moab and Ammon. These are the two. So if you notice, Isaac later marries Rebekah, and they have twins, Esau and Jacob. The Esau is also called Edom, and Jacob is also called Israel. And Leah and Rachel are the daughters of Laban, and Jacob marries them, and he ultimately has 12 sons and a daughter as well. So the 12 sons are also called the Israelites, or 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, I just want to give you a picture of it. And Esau, Edom, he goes and marries the children of Ishmael and also the children of Canaan here. And they become the enemies of Israelites later on. The Edomites, they are called. And Edom, Moab, and Ammon together form today's country of Jordan. And that is what the picture is. Just wanted to give you an idea as to what all happened in the book of Genesis. And this is the story. The red color that I put forth is the path in which God has chosen the family, and ultimately the Israelites have come through. And this book of Genesis ends with the 12 tribes of Israel and how they enter into the land of Egypt. So today we are going to study on the story of Jacob. So I request each one of us to have your Bibles open. If you do not have one, try to share with somebody with you as well, because we are going to look into the scriptures in order to understand certain important principles here. We notice that in Genesis chapter 25, we are just going to jump to Genesis chapter 25. I'll give a synopsis as to what all has happened from Genesis chapter 25, because this is the chapter which introduces the two, the twins, the Esau and Jacob. And we notice here that 25, chapter 25, verse 19, these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. The place Haran was a place where Abraham's father, Terah, as well as his brother Haran, died. And Abraham and Lot are the only ones who come out of Haran, which is, and then all the others, Bethuel and all, they stay back in Haran or Paddan Aram. Okay, so Isaac marries Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel. Verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. How many times do we pray on behalf of our wives? Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Notice this, verse 22. But the children struggled together within her. The children struggled together within her. Challenges. The struggles began in the womb. And she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. She was praying with the twins in her womb. She started praying. Isaac was a man of prayer, verse 21. Rebekah was a woman of prayer in verse 22. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, Israelites and Edomites. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. God is a God who knows the future as to what is going to happen. He's an omniscient God. He knows everything that was going to happen. So, and then we notice that when the days are completed, she gives birth to the twins. Verse 25, now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment. First came out forth as red, or in other words, red. Another word used for red is Edom. Edom means red. The first one came out all over his like a hairy garment. Whole body was full of hair. Not only just head, whole body was full of hair. Something unique. Okay, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. Right from the time he was delivered into this world, he held his brother's heel. And so his name was called Jacob. In other words, in verse 21, Jacob, Yaakov, means the one who takes by the heel, who holds by the heel. Or in other words, supplanter. Somebody who holds the heel, meaning making him fall down or deceiving him. Or in other words, supplanter, in other words. So that's the word Jacob. That's how they named their child as Jacob. In the olden days, people used to name the child for the way in which they are. Imagine if we have names like that, how terrible it is. We always want our children to have wonderful name, great men, that names. But here, because he held his brother by the heel, immediately they called his name as Jacob. Okay? That's how they used to name. And they were living out that way as well, as we notice. And then we see here, verse 27, the boys grew up. Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man or a plain man, it says in some translations, living in tents. Now Esau and Jacob were different. Both were born from the same womb, but both were different children. How many times if you have more than one child, how different each one is? And especially if they are born at the same time, like twins, even then they are different. And their way of growing up was different. One was in the field, the other one was in the tents. And also, parents also, they were favoring one over the other. That was also something which is not good, but the way in which, humanly speaking, Isaac loved Esau because he was he had a taste for game. Father loves sports and hunting and all that. So he preferred Esau. He loved Esau. And then Rebekah loved Jacob, younger one. Most of the time, mothers try to favor the younger ones. But parents, let us not learn this kind of things from this story, because that ended up into terrible situations where two nations got separated and all that. So now we notice that 29, Jacob was at home in the tent, so he was a good cook. He was hunter. His brother Esau was a hunter. And this younger one, Jacob, was a cook. He cooked stew. Esau came in from the field and he was famished, tired. He said, please let me have that red stuff. Red, again, Edom. The word red means Edom. For I'm famished. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Verse 30. Jacob, the one who held his brother by the heel, he said, first, sell me your birthright. I know I came after you. Usually the older one gets all the blessings. Sell me your birthright. Esau, for the sake of one meal that he was so hungry, for the sake of food, he ended up selling his birthright. Esau said, I'm going to die. What use is the birthright to me? And then Jacob asked him to swear by him. And then finally, it says, the end of chapter 25, Esau despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. And then the story continues. So Jacob, he held his brother by the heel to start with. And then he made sure that his brother sold his birthright as well. And now let us jump to chapter 27. Chapter 27, Genesis chapter 27. So what do we notice here that he does? Now it came about when Isaac was old, that his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau, because he preferred the older one, because he was a hunter, he was a game player and all that. So he said, I want you to come, and said, behold, I'm old now, please bring me food. Isaac also was a person who was like food lover, right? So he asks him and says, verse 4, prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Isaac said, bring some food, then I'll bless you. And I don't need to read through the whole story. Rebecca hears that, but because she loves Jacob, she lets Jacob prepare the food and cover his body with hair, and then goes and tells his father in order to be able to bless him. And that is what we notice here, that verse 19, 27:19, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Deception. For I have done as you told me. Get up, please sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me. See, blessings. As I was telling you, there is something about blessings that we are going to look at. So the first thing that you and I should be able to note down, first of all, there were two crossings of Jordan. Please note it down in your sermon notes. The arrow that goes to the east or goes to the right side, write it down, runaway crossing. Runaway crossing. And then he deceives in such a manner that he gets all the blessings. Then verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come close and kiss me, my son. He came close and kissed him. When he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, is like a smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven. And also it says in verse 29, may people serve you and be blessed, be those who bless you and all that. And then verse 30, notice this carefully. Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. As soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob. So note down in your sermon notes, the deception of Jacob that has caused a stolen blessing. Stolen blessing. Note it down. Blessings, different kinds of blessings. The runaway crossing, he was running away. Why was he running away? We will see that. Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. What kind of a blessing was this? A stolen blessing. He stole the blessings that Isaac was going to give to Esau. God knew. God is an omniscient God. He knew everything ahead of time. He told Rebekah also. And this was what was happening now. And what did it happen? Esau's blessing was given to Jacob. The stolen blessing. In my version, just above verse 30, in the New American, the heading says the stolen blessing, interestingly. And then, before Jacob had hardly gone, Esau comes and then he tries to say, Father, I have brought the food. Please bless me now. And then Isaac says, sorry, I have already blessed your brother. Verse 34, Esau heard the words of his father and cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry, said to his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And verse 35, he said, your brother came deceitfully and taken away your blessing. The deception for a stolen blessing. Now you understand, this verse 35 talks about the deception and the stolen blessing that he tried to receive. And then he says in verse 36, then he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And then Esau doesn't get any blessings. In verse 41, so Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. Because now Jacob was blessed by Isaac, and there was no specific blessing for Esau. Esau bore a grudge against his brother. This is what the struggle between the two children was. And then he says, Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. My father is going through this old age that he might die. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Notice this next word in this, which says danger. The deception where he got the stolen blessing has caused danger. Why? Because Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Verse 42. Now this news went to Rebekah. And then Rebekah calls Jacob and says, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Haran, run away. Flee to Haran, run away. Just run away from here. Don't stay here. They were living in a place called Beersheba in the land of Canaan. What did Rebekah do? Hey, your brother is going to kill you. You better run away. She says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days. Notice the small phrase. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides. Until your brother's anger against you subsides. Verse 45. And he forgets what you did to him. Then I'll send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? And then Rebekah talks to Isaac. She never talks about anything related to Esau trying to kill Jacob. But instead, she says, send Jacob to my brother. It's better for him to marry one of the daughters of Laban, my brother. And so she tries to let Jacob run away from her brother Esau. Then verse 28, Genesis chapter 28. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Why? Because Esau married the daughters of Canaan. He married the Gentiles, in other words. And then he also marries the children of Ishmael. Later on we'll read that. And now verse 2, chapter 28 and verse 2, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 2. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. From there, take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. A wife. He ended up marrying both. But that's a separate story. But what we see here is, his desire was to send Jacob to Paddan Aram, Haran, which is way east, near Mesopotamia, crossing the Euphrates River. And then, may the God Almighty bless you. And also, he says, verse 4, may he also give you the blessing of Abraham. Blessings! We're talking about blessings, right? And that you may possess the land of your sojournings. And then, verse 5, then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. And then, what we notice here is, Jacob had obeyed his father and mother in verse 7 and had gone to Paddan Aram. Esau went to Ishmael, verse 9. Actually, verse 8 and 9. Esau saw the daughters of Canaan, displeased his father, Isaac. Esau went to Ishmael, married besides the wives that he had. And he ended up marrying every other people in the family of Ishmael and the Canaan as well. Verse 10, notice this carefully, Genesis 28:10. Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. I'm going to show you a map very soon. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of the temple. And then he had a dream, verse 12. Notice this, note it down. Deception, danger, and then in verse 12, he had a dream. What was a dream? It's a well-known story, Jacob's dream. How many of us don't know this story? If you do not know the story, please go back and read the story where, as part of his runaway, his flight to Haran, he ends up in a place where he wanted to sleep. He finds a stone and he tries to lie down, but he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a ladder where the angels of God were ascending and descending, and the Lord stood above it, verse 13, and the Lord spoke to Jacob. Jacob the deceiver, Jacob the supplanter, Jacob the one who pulled the heel of his brother, the one, when we see, he was pretty much understood as a bad guy here. But Esau became a much worse or badder. So nowadays, the present day children are using the word badder. I was surprised to hear our children speaking such words, but the right word is worse, okay? But gooder, badder is word, the words nowadays we hear from this teenagers nowadays. Anyway, so what we see here is he has a dream. And in that dream, the Lord speaks to Jacob. Let me tell you, God speaks to people who are bad people as well. By nature, he was a supplanter. It was not because of his goodness that God chose Jacob. Remember this. Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver, yet God had his plan towards that deceiver. He had a plan. He loved him so much in order to be able to come down and speak to him. He said, "I am the Lord." He introduces himself to Jacob. And he says, "The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. I am the God of your father Abraham and the father of Isaac. Your descendants." The same covenant blessing that God gave to Abraham was passed on to Isaac, and now to Jacob was this blessing given. Notice this, verse 15. Shall we all read this together, please? Verse 15, 28, 15. "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." What a wonderful promise this is. Whenever I think of this verse, I get reminded of the fact that we have a God in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our challenges, in spite of our nature of deception. God still loves us. God still loves us, and he wants to reach out to us and talk to us in order to be able to transform us. Remember that. Oh, you cannot say that, "Oh, I'm a deceiver. I'll keep on deceiving. God will keep on talking to me. What big deal? God has blessed me. I'll continue to be deceived." No, that cannot be the case. This person, Jacob, had to have a transformed life, but God initiated that aspect. God initiated it. God came to Jacob and spoke to him, my dear. Maybe we have been deceiving people. Maybe we have been supplanting. We have been trying to pull people out and trying to do many things for our benefit. Maybe we wanted to steal the blessings. Maybe we are of that kind of a character or nature. The Bible says, by nature we are sinners. The life of Jacob symbolizes a human nature, my dear, for that matter. A human nature of a sinful nature that we are in. It is not because of our goodness that God wants to accept us. It is because of God's love towards us that he came down into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. This ladder where the angels of God were going up and down and the Lord standing there is a symbolism of the fact that God wanted to reach out to the sinners and want to promise them as well, saying, "I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go." Where was he going? He was running away. He was running away to Haran. God said, "I will bring you back to this land." You are going away, I know. "I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you." God is a God who doesn't leave us. Many times we have been running away from God. We have been going to places where, oh, we are thinking God has been protecting me. Oh, there are so many accidents in my life. I've been protected. God is a great God. Yes, why? Why is he protecting you all this while? For you to come back to him. Are you coming back to him? Or you are still passing the wrong way? Learn this, my dear. We are like Jacob's. We are no different than Jacob. So we notice here that God is telling, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is a promise that I took from the Lord, saying, God is the one who has promised in my life, He will not leave me. He will not leave me until He has done what He has promised in my life. And that is the greatest confidence you and I can have in our lives, my dear. With the challenges that we are coming across in our lives. He had the fear of Esau killing him. He had to run away from his brother. In all this challenge that he was going through in his life, God promised him that I will be with you. And then, verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep. Surely the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than Bethel. This is none other than Bethel. Note it down in your notes. Bethel means house of God. Beth or Baith means house. El or Elohim means God. House of God. Bethel. Bethel. And then he says, he called that, he anoints that stone with oil. Verse 18. And then verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel. Previously, the name of the city has been called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, what is the journey? Runaway crossing. If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I'll take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, what was he thinking? Earthly blessings. The stolen blessings, the earthly blessings. If God is going to be with me, give me food to eat and garments to wear, then I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Tithe, in other words. And that is how we notice what happens. I want to show you the graphical representation of this particular runaway crossing. Beersheba, this is all the land of Canaan, as I was telling you. The Moabites and Ammonites are here. Beersheba, he goes to Bethel, where he encounters God in a dream. He understands who this God is. And then he crosses over to Haran, the Padan Aram, which is way up in the east somewhere after crossing the Euphrates River. There's a big Euphrates River there. He crosses that as well. And he goes to Haran, Padan Aram. So he crosses Jordan River. Where does it mention that he crossed Jordan River? In your sermon notes, Genesis 32:10, it says, I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of all the truth which you have shown to your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. He's talking about his runaway crossing. I crossed over this Jordan. Where exactly in that Jordan River? I don't know. But he crossed over this Jordan. As part of his runaway from west to east, from the promised land, he moved away in order to be able to run away from his brother. He goes there and he says here, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, just a staff in my hand. I had nothing in my hand other than this staff, other than with my staff, I crossed this Jordan River. And that is what he says here. And then he crosses over and goes there. What did his mom say? For a few days you go, just spend some time, find a wife there, and then I'll send someone, you can come back. So he thought, few days, okay, few days. Now, let us see. Genesis chapter 29. Notice this carefully. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east, or in other words, Haran or Padan Aram. And then, I'm not going to read the entire story. You can go and read in your sweet time at home or at other places. So here, we notice that he tends to meet Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. And then Jacob notices that Rachel is the one. He loves her. And then he says that he wants to marry her. And then verse 18, notice this. Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Now what happened to the few days? that Rebecca said, gone. For the sake of love, he said, 7 years I'm going to be here. So far, now he was so far away from his parents as well. And then, what did Laban do? Actually, Laban said, what is that? What will your wages be in verse 15? And that is how he ends up serving his future father-in-law for 7 years. Then verse 20, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him a few days. Maybe that's the reason he thought he will stay there for 7 years. The few days that Rebecca said ended up to be the few days, but it was 7 years. And then we notice something else that was going on. Please note down in your sermon notes, double deception. Laban is much more a person who knew how to handle this guy Jacob. You might know this story. You might be hearing this story for years together from Sunday school onwards. But there are some principles that we can learn. He went through double deception. First of all, the few days ended up 7 years for Rachel's sake. And when he wanted to marry Rachel, it ended up that it was Leah. And for Rachel's sake, again, another 7 years that he spends. And then there were another 6 years after that as well. Total of 20 years he spent at Haran. 20 years. The few days became 20 years, just to let you know that, how long it took. So, double deception. And then we also notice, I'm not going to read through every verse in this chapter 30. He's blessed. Blessings of family, the earthly blessings. He had children. And then we notice that Laban, he notices that Jacob was getting a lot of flocks and everything, a lot of stolen blessings that he was receiving, a lot of earthly blessings he was receiving, but it was stolen blessings. Now what happened? Laban wanted to see what he can do by deceiving Jacob again. But Jacob also, both were kind of deceivers, double deception that was going on between both of them in chapter 30. If you want to read through it, you can read through that, how the flocks were compared. Their property was flocks. That was the way in which they used to manage. It's not about how much bank balance it was. But in today's world, that's how it is. How many houses, how many bank balance, how many cars. Those are the ways in which they were looking from an earthly blessing perspective. So there was a lot of struggle that was going on between Jacob and Laban. Already with Esau, he had issues. Now he comes here with his father-in-law, Laban. He had issues. Verse 43, so the man became exceedingly prosperous. Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. Earthly blessings. He had large flocks, female and male servants, camels and donkeys. Oh, lots of blessings. Verse 31. Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. Verse 2, Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. He noticed that there is some struggle that was going on in the relationship between him and his father-in-law, Laban. Notice this. When he was going through struggles in his life, on the other side of Jordan. Verse 3, listen to this. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I'll be with you. 20 years have passed by. Return to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have fulfilled what I have promised you. 28:15. Wonderful promise that God had given Jacob. The same God who had promised spoke to him when Jacob was going through a challenge in his life. So what did God say? Verse 3, return, return. You went away, you ran away. Yes, now the time has come. Note down in your sermon notes. Return crossing, runaway crossing. He ran away. He crossed the Jordan and ran away from his brother Esau. In a way, he left his family also. But God has blessed him there as well. Now he was returning. On his return, he had a promise from God. And then we notice, we'll jump to chapter 32, Genesis chapter 32. Now he returns. 31, it talks about how Laban once again grabs hold of him. There's a lot of struggle that he goes through with Laban, and finally Laban lets him go. Chapter 55. God intervened. He said, "Don't touch Jacob. Don't touch Jacob." That is what God spoke to Laban, not to do anything with Jacob. God had so much in terms of his chosen one. And then we notice in chapter 32, verse 1. "Now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him." Runaway crossing, dream, the ladder, angels of God ascending and descending. Return crossing, angels of God meeting him. My dear, I tell you, it is God's angels or the presence of God in our midst and his protection towards his children. Don't take it as a fact that your life is fine. I can live my life in deception. God is blessing me. No. And that is what we notice here. Verse 2, Jacob said when he saw them, he saw the angels of God, "This is God's company or God's camp." And so he named the place Mahanaim. Note down in your sermon notes, the word Mahanaim means two companies or two camps. God's camp and his camp. And that is how he noticed that this is God's camp in verse 2. And he had a company of people, his own family members, his flocks and everything. And then, now the time has come for him to be able to see that God was promising him, right? He promised, you know, note down in your sermon notes, the promise as well. The promise in your return, in the return crossing, note down the word promise. In the map, now he is returning, return crossing. He comes from Haran. He stops at a place called Mahanaim. And then, let us see, there was something that was going on in his life. Verse 7, please read. Genesis 32, 7. Yeah, yeah, that Mahanaim, not only it is God's company and his company, he divided his own people into two. He was afraid. Why? Why was he afraid? Because he had a problem in his life. Note down, the second thing under return crossing, problem. Promise and a problem. What was the problem? Esau was coming. Verse 8, he says, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. So he was trying to make plans himself. Many times, humanly speaking, when we have a problem, we try to divide ourselves and make plans. Instead of doing that, he should have gone ahead and asked God. All this time, God was speaking to him, my dear. If you see the dream, God spoke to him. If you see when he had a problem with Laban, God spoke to him, return. He never was speaking to God. God was speaking. God is trying to speak to each one of us, my dear. God is being blessing you physically, earthly. God is speaking to you, but you are not speaking to God. The way you need to speak to God, maybe you have not been speaking to God. You have been experiencing the earthly blessings, but when was it that you really spoke to God? When did you really pray unto God? It is not about being in a company of people. That will not save you, my dear. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. You are having problems. God is expecting you to speak to him. Verse 9. That is when his heart changed, my dear. There was a transformation in the life of Jacob. The portion that we read in Genesis chapter 32. This was a time he spoke to God. He understood that he was in danger. He was trying to make plans himself by creating two companies and all that. Many times we do that, my dear. We make our own plans. We try to see how much wisdom or knowledge, worldly wisdom we have in order to be able to make a strategy here. But he had to go to God. He spoke to God. Verse 9. O God of my father, Abraham, and God of my father, Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. Note down the next bullet here, prayer. His return crossing was a transformation in his life. The earthly blessings was not a symbol of his transformation. He was still a Jacob. He was still a deceiver. He was stealing the blessings and was able to see so much of flock in his life. But his life was not changed, my dear. Maybe we are in that situation. Maybe you are looking at earthly blessings and trying to say, oh, God is blessing. Oh, God is blessing. That doesn't mean anything here. Unless and until our lives are changed, unless we are transformed, unless we speak to God, unless we realize who we are and speak out to Him, pray unto Him, oh God of my fathers, return to your country, you said. So he was quoting the promise of God. As part of his prayer, he was quoting the promise of his God. And then he says in verse 10, notice this very carefully. He humbled himself. All this time, he was filled with his property. He was filled with blessings. The stolen blessings, earthly blessings. He had so much. He had the wives, children, and servants, and flocks. He was able to get so much from his father-in-law and many things. Now he says in verse 10, transformed life. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness or the mercies and the truth which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan. I have now become two companies. I have become Mahanaim. I am unworthy. He humbled himself, my dear. As part of your prayer, you need to humble yourself. How much? How long will you be proud of saying that, oh, God has been protecting me. God has protected me from this danger. God protected me from that person. Just the way probably Jacob was thinking, oh, God protected me from Esau. God protected me from Laban. Let me tell you, God is doing that in order to let your life be transformed. Is your life transformed because of the blessings that you are experiencing? If not, the time has come for us to be able to be transformed, my dear. God has come down into this world. He's loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He is trying to tell, I love you. There was no response for so long. It took him 20 years. From the time, the dream that he had where God revealed himself, that he came back on his return, that he was able to sense and prayed unto God, I am unworthy, Lord. That is the humility. Can you pray that prayer, my dear? When was the last time you prayed that prayer? Don't tell that you're born in a Christian family. That's not what I'm asking you. Don't tell that God has been protecting you from all dangers in your life. That's not what I'm asking you. Don't tell me that you have been blessed with so many earthly blessings. That's not what I'm asking you. Is your life transformed? Do you have the humility in your heart that God is the one who has chosen? God is the one who's calling you. And here we notice in verse 11, save me, I pray. Deliver me, I pray. That is what the prayer. He was able to sense the danger in his life. For the first time, he became so afraid in his life that he reached out to God. He humbled himself. He understood his nature. He understood his situation. And he said, deliver me, O God, I pray. From the hand of Esau, from the trouble that is there in our spiritual lives. It is the deliverance from evil. Deliverance from the difficulties and the challenges that we are coming across in our lives. And then he passes over. I'm not going to read everything. And when he was going through all his life, he sends all his people in the two companies. He prays, but he sends them out. God allows certain things to happen in his life. Though he was so much blessed with property and possessions. Notice this verse 24. Someone please read. Genesis 32, 24. Enough, brother. Then Jacob was left alone. God brings you to just yourself. Jacob was left alone. God is dealing with you alone, my dear. It is not about, oh, a group of people, everyone gets saved, everyone. No! God wants to deal with you alone. Jacob was left alone. The two companies were sent away. God enabled, allowed something to happen so that God could deal with him alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. A man wrestled with him. God is wrestling with you. God is telling, how long will you keep on being like Jacob? When he saw that he could not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated when he wrestled with him. God allows certain things to happen in our lives. Some challenges, difficulties in our lives. Verse 26, then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Verse 26, I will not let you go until you bless me. What is this blessing? He has been having so much of blessings, right, already? Stolen blessings. But what is this that is going on in his life here? I will not let you go until you bless me. His life got transformed now. It is not about earthly blessings that he's going after. It's not about the stolen blessings that he received from his brother Esau. But he wanted another kind of blessing. He wanted a blessing that is not earthly. He wanted a blessing that is eternal blessing. To that, verse 27, and he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. What is your name? Or in other words, who are you? Who are you? He says, I'm a deceiver. I'm a sinner. Who are you? I'm a sinner. God is asking you that question right now. Who are you? Who are you? We are all Jacobs, my dear. We are no different from Jacob. Who are you? I'm asking you. Don't try to think that you know everything. Don't try to think that you're being blessed so much earthly. That has nothing to do with the eternal blessings that God is giving you. Who are you? And he said, Jacob. In other words, I'm a sinner. Verse 28, he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. You will no longer be in your sinful nature, but Israel. For you have striven with God. You have prayed unto me. You have struggled. Your situation, the challenge that came to me, you wrestled with me in prayer. Yesterday in our fasting and prayer also, we were meditating upon Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4. He labored in prayer or wrestled in prayer. He prayed. He wrestled in prayer. He says, your name shall be called Israel, meaning struggled with God or prevailed. God prevails, in other words, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Finally, the thing that you want to note down, prevail. Spiritual blessing. I will not leave you until you bless me. How many times do we keep on asking God for earthly blessings? Enough of all of it. Spiritual blessings are essential in our lives. He had all the blessings that he could get, but he realized that there was lack of spiritual blessings in his life. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, talks about the spiritual blessings. One of our sisters, she shared as part of her testimony last week, Ephesians chapter 1, that he has chosen us from the foundation of the world. He has redeemed us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the spiritual blessings. And then, verse 29, then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. And he said, what is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Though the name was not told, he was able to know something in verse 30. Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face and my life has been preserved. Notice this picture here. He comes all the way from Mahanaim to Peniel near the river Jabbok that just intersects with Jordan River. Peniel, note down in your sermon notes, Peniel means the face of God. He was able to sense the face of God. God meeting him. He was able to encounter God. His life changed. He was no longer Jacob, but it is Israel. Peniel, in verse 31, it says Penuel. Peniel or Penuel mean the same. Last week, I was sharing with you, Mamre is from my father-in-law's house name, and Penuel is my house, my dad and mom. The house that they lived, even our house, we named it Penuel, meaning face of God. And that is how he had experienced. So after this, I'm not going to go over everything, but I just want to share with you the next picture where he travels from there to Sukkot. He crosses there and he goes to Shechem. And from there, he goes back to Bethel, where God promised, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Genesis 28:15. God takes him there. Runaway crossing, he brings him back, return crossing. God is a God who is not only a promise-giving God, but also a promise-fulfilling God. And I hope you will remember this. Challenges that we come across in our lives. The runaway crossing. Are we running away? Are we running away? God is after us. God wants to bring us back. And maybe not go to that east side, but be on the west side. In terms of being able to know that that is the promised land, in other words, of the Jordan River. God has brought him back and enabled his family, the 12 tribes of Israel, to stay in the land of Canaan. And that is how this particular story continues because of the life of Jacob. I hope you have learned these important principles, my dear. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you today. Are you running away? Crossing the Jordan, running away? God is wanting you to come back. Return to him. Return to him. Return to Bethel. Return to Bethel. Return to the house of God. God is wanting you to have communion with him, fellowshipping with him. For that reason, Christ Jesus came down into this world. He loved you so much, just like that ladder. He came down into this world. The cross on which he died for us on the cross of Calvary is like a ladder for us to be able to enter into eternity, to have spiritual blessings, my dear. Don't you want it? Don't you want to have that experience like Jacob? Let us not be like the Jacob, but let us become like Israel. The time has come for us to be able to respond to God and his calling. And may the Lord bless this word. And I hope we have learned some important spiritual lessons from Jordan crossing. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down. My dear brother and sister, I know this was a long story. I know I had to short it down as much as possible. I tried to shorten it. It still took enough time. But I hope you have learned some important lessons here today. We are all deceivers. We are all Jacobs. The word Jacob means deceiver. God wants to make us Israel, the one who prevails with God, the one who wrestles with God, the one whose life is transformed at Penuel in order to be able to spend time in Bethel. Do you have the Penuel to Bethel experience? Let us be able to reflect upon what we have learned today. Christ Jesus came down into this world to die for Jacob's. To die for Jacob's. He has come into this world. He says, I will be with you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have fulfilled what I have promised you. And his promise is that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. At the crossing of Jordan, Jacob's life got transformed. I hope our lives are getting transformed as well. I hope these challenges that are coming into our lives right now, maybe whatever challenge that you're going through in your life right now, are you making your own plans or are you praying unto God, humbling yourself, saying, Lord, you are the God who promised me. You are the one who brought me to this place. You are, Lord, what is your plan in my life? Where should I go? What should I do? These challenges, uncertainty, your future, not knowing what will happen, God took care of Jacob. But he had to first change Jacob to become Israel in order to take him back to Bethel. I hope each one of us are really able to recognize the importance of transformed lives, that when we leave this place, that we'll be like Israel and not like Jacob. Let's take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner.